I'd be like, I'm like, fuck Pornhub slow. There must be a lot of people on.
Did I really run out of it? I saw it all. Sir, you have seen every single video. Oh.
And some of them I can't unsee. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 38 of It's Just Bodybuilding. Of course, Dusty Hand, Sean, myself, Ron Parlow. And on today's show from the UK, we've got a nab of Mr. Universe on the show, Josh Malley on It's Just Bodybuilding.
Fuck, Ron, that was phenomenal.
How you doing, Dusty?
I'm great, but I mean, we can just end this show now. I mean, fuck, it ain't getting better than that.
We should have done the first 2 minutes when we were chatting. We didn't record it.
That's typical, because God only knows what I'm going to say. I've been up for like 7 seconds.
Yeah, well, we got to remind everyone, of course, off the bat, get the housekeeping out of the way. Like, subscribe, share, and comment. It helps us out tremendously. And people are saying our videos are showing up in like the YouTube recommended, and you know what I mean, like that sort of stuff.
That's thanks to them.
Yeah, that's cool. That's what we want. So you know, that really helps us out. So keep that going. We appreciate it. We were just talking about your training partner. For people watching the show here, we got to open the show with just a quick story before we bring Josh on.
Oh, right to it.
Your training partner Matt, the guy you've been training with for years and years, one of your best buddies.
Yep.
The guy that tore both his biceps, if your viewers remember that crazy story.
Yes.
Had both his biceps torn at the same time.
He's decided to one-up it.
That wasn't tough enough. He's got to take a new challenge.
Yeah, so we went with two patella tendons last night.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's why I texted you this morning. I'm like, gonna need some guidance on this one. This is well above my pay grade. Thankfully, wow. It wasn't in the gym. I won't describe exactly what happened because he didn't, like, paint me a picture, but it was out of the gym, moving some shit. I don't know. He slipped. Something happened, but both of them. And, yeah, so it'll be interesting. But, you know, the good news is he called me, which tells you he's got a low, low friend list. He's like, really? I'm the deepest you can go?
The guy that has an open schedule.
Yeah, he's like, guess what you're going to be doing for a little while? Whatever the fuck I need. So, but no, it's going to be, it'll be, you know, it's one of those things. The only thing I had to answer with was, well, Ron's is better than ever now. So fucking RoboCop here will be fucking killing it now. Got two perfect arms, two perfect legs, you know. So yeah. It's the mental battle, man. And that's the part that I'm... you know, I've listened to Fuad talk about and some of the other guys, the fucking mental fight of getting back and thinking about it is going to be, you know, that's the hardest part from what I understand. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I only tore one quad. So my rehab was a little quicker because when you only tear one, you can move around, you can mobilize more, and it actually speeds up the recovery of the other leg.
Right.
When you tear both, it isn't just the same amount of time. It is longer because there's more immobility, and that's just proven time and time again. But Matt's an exception. He's like, you know, $1 million man getting hurt. So
I just told him, I said, well, the good news is
money into both of them.
I know a few people that have done this that aren't as fucking hardcore as you are. So if they got through it, then
yeah.
So
we're just going to send a brother with a double injury best wishes, I guess, from the crew.
Absolutely. And and of course, now I have to be on a schedule. Actually wind my watch, which is tricky.
Yes.
But we'll get it done.
You know what? It'll get you through. It'll get you through this shutdown.
Adulting. But let's see if we get Josh on here. I want to get him cranked. I have a lot of questions.
Okay. I do, too. Let's bring on Josh from the UK, big man, Josh Malley.
Thank you so much, guys. Absolute pleasure to be here, really.
Now, we met at Body Power, right?
Yes, we did nearly this time last year.
And you were at that awesome booth.
Yes, I was. Descended from Odin. Yeah, yes. Like Viking clothing.
Yes. Do you remember that booth, Dusty?
Well, I don't, so you guys have to break it down for me and everyone else.
They had a big like Viking ship there and stuff. It was cool, you know what I mean? It's like the Norseman sort of thing. And he's standing there. How tall is he? 6'7"?
6'6".
6'6". He's standing there with the big beard and the long hair, and he's just jacked. Yeah. And I was like, that's perfect branding.
Good luck. Got that shit down right there. I had no idea you were that fucking tall.
Yeah, big dude.
You're so filled out. You know what is crazy, though? It's because if you weren't so blown out, like your legs and stuff, I'd go, oh, he's tall.
Yeah. Well,
you know, because if you had lanky legs or some shit, I would immediately connect with, oh, he must be tall. But because you got big fucking, your legs must be 80 inches around.
I think it's weird. Like I'm the opposite way around. Like most tall guys are upper body and no lower. And I'm for a long time, I was all lower and no upper.
You were a leg dominant, tall bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Which is pretty freaky. Now, you were a swimmer, right? Tell us about that, like your kind of your athletic background.
Yeah, so I've always been like a tall kid, which has always suited me to sports and everything. So from a young age, I was doing everything, you know. But then when I hit kind of 10 years old, I used to live in Singapore. So we moved back to this country, which is really cold. And I did a lot of running and I didn't want to do that anymore. So I started swimming and then did that for just under 10 years, and finished at, I got to kind of Commonwealth Games trials, Olympic trials, but never any further. And then I was just like, I'm done with this. This is hard work. I want to change. And bodybuilding was there. Well, the gym was there. I didn't know about bodybuilding at the time, but.
Right. It was just the gym.
Yeah.
So what was the spark to, what did you enjoy about training at first? You said it wasn't about bodybuilding. You just wanted to lift some weights and not have to do endurance work for a while.
Pretty much. Like I was you see my before picture. Like I was a skinny kid, and that was through like till my late teens, till kind of 19 years old. There was nothing on me, and I always wanted to be like the big guy or bigger at least and feel better. So then I started going to the gym, seeing kind of some results, and I'm an all or nothing kind of guy. So as soon as I started seeing that, it was here we are.
Get out of my way.
Yeah,
that's fucking wacky because you're the only person that can go from a sport that says this is too much work, so I'll get into bodybuilding. like that's how much work swimming competitively is. If bodybuilding easier.
Do you remember me saying that I thought the hardest sport was swimming because it's a sport that would kill me because I would drown? So therefore, it's the hardest sport because I can't swim worth a shit. So anyone who could like, oh, I was a competitive swimmer. I'm like, oh, fuck. I never, ever was able to.
It sets you up for one hell of a work ethic because, you know, early mornings from the kind of the age of 12, I was getting up at like 4:30 and doing 2 hours before school, 2 hours after school. So, like I said, when I stopped swimming and got into the gym, I was going from about 40 hours of training a week to, I think I trained for 2 hours a day in the gym when I came over, but still that's 14 hours. So
it was like retirement.
Exactly. It was an easy life. And
now I took a week off.
I can't do anything like that, but still.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Whereabouts in the UK are you? I'm not sure what city you're in.
So I'm in a small town called Loughborough, which is near Nottingham, probably the biggest city near me.
Ah, so okay.
Pretty much bang in the middle of the country.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, you're part of the UK bodybuilding world, and there's like this sort of alternate stigma that's always attached to British bodybuilding. It has its own thing, you know what I mean? Yeah. And how did you kind of who were your influences and what British bodybuilders did you know when you were starting out and that sort of stuff?
So like, I knew nothing about bodybuilding at all. Like I was fortunate to work in a gym, and one of the guys I worked with, he was like, you like training, you're like, you should look at bodybuilding. I was like, what is this sport? And he started, basically he gave me homework. He was like, go look up Ronnie Coleman. That was where I was at. I didn't even know who like the greats of the sport were. He was like, look up who Ronnie is, look up who Jay is, look up all these guys. So I suppose they were like my first insight into it, which was a hell of an insight. And then on the UK side of things, I actually went to university with Jordan Peters. So okay. I've known Jordan for over a decade now. And obviously, although he was still get starting, he was a big little dude back in the day, you know, when he was competing from the off. And I remember seeing him in the gym and being like, that's a big guy. And the guy I trained with for a long period of time was a powerlifter. he was a really big guy. And again, it just, those were the people who kind of, I was like, oh, okay, this is for me. Even though I'm completely different dimensions, I want to get jacked.
You can still relate.
How long ago was that? How long ago did you start?
So I started, well, I stopped swimming when I was 19, and pretty much from, I competed when I was 22 for the first time. So I've been competing a decade now.
You're a baby. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Ron's like, man, I remember my first decade and my second.
And my third.
That's fucking, so you put on a shit ton of size extremely quickly then.
Yeah, what were the body weights? What's your body weight, you know, 10 years ago?
So when I first stepped on stage, I was 107 kilos. I don't know what that is in pounds. I worked in kilos back then, but since then
it's like
I switched
235, I think.
Yeah, yeah, and then yeah, it's about that. And then most recently, I was 295 on stage. So
yeah, it's 235. Yeah.
You were way the fuck off, Ron. Why did you get that 0.4?
Well, 0.4 of a pound off. I know, I'm Canadian. I know my kilos, right?
What's a 295 then? What's 295 in pounds, Ron?
295 is pounds. So that's about
pounds. Okay.
134 kilos.
Yeah, 134. So
wow, Jesus.
Yeah. That's a lot of body weight, man. You know,
it is. And then when you break it down over 10 years over my frame, I always feel like, oh, should I have done a bit more?
That's, you know, what's crazy though, is that's a prime example. What you just said is that amount of weight over 10 years. Cause I know you guys get it all the time. Like, well, I have guys go, well, so what do you think I could gain in, like, you know, a couple months, like 20 pounds? I'm like, 20 pounds of what?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, muscle? Fuck no. I was shooting for 6 this year. I'd really like to get 6 pounds.
That's awesome. You know, 6 is big, especially kind of, and the longer you go, the harder it gets. So,
yeah, I mean, fuck. So you put on 60 pounds then.
Yeah. Well, it's almost 30 kilos. And plus I'm sure there was condition improvement too on those body weights.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, one thing I was grateful for was I got in pretty good shape from my first show. So I kind of had a good expectation of what to build on. Because you see guys these days, and their first show, they're kind of a little bit soft, but then in their head, that's shredded on stage, and then they never push for more because of that. Whereas I got quite good shape, and I managed to then just keep beating it a little bit.
What do you think about all the stuff that people are always saying? You know, I'm 6'0.5", so because I'm over the 6 foot mark, I've always considered myself a tall bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Obviously not up in your end of the clouds, but, you know, so I always had people say stuff to me like, oh, you know, you're a big guy, so it's going to take longer and, you know, it's going to be harder to hold mass when you diet. And I understand where they're coming from, but I always tried to write that off and go, no, it's bullshit. I just have to be as good as everyone else. I have to be better than everyone else. I can't use excuses and stuff because that's the mindset of competing. But looking back now, I'm not sure if maybe there is some truth to it. What do you think?
I mean, it's always going to take more time for a taller guy because, you know, for me to put on, well, if I put on 5 pounds, you might not even notice it on my frame.
Right.
Where if 5'4" puts on 5 pounds, then they're going to know about it. And I think, you know, muscle really goes on at the same rate, no matter what height you are. So it's just how it looks. I think when I started out, I had no clue that bodybuilders were short. I thought they were all kind of my height. So I'm looking at these guys and I'm thinking, yeah, I can definitely look like that. It's completely realistic, which almost kind of helped. That naivety was just like a blessing in disguise because I didn't have any limiting sort of beliefs. I just went in there. I thought,
yeah,
I'm going to grow and it will be great.
I guess that's kind of what I meant. That's kind of what I meant when I said, like, I didn't want to, like, let that stuff into my head because Arnold was my inspiration and he was kind of my height. So I never really I never had a second thought about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I just kind of just went with it, really. I think I didn't give it any thought. I think I've always been one as well who's liked sort of a bit of negative feedback. So I know when I was a really skinny swimmer and people were like, you're going to do bodybuilding? Like, you haven't got the frame for it. And I was like, we'll find out. Let me give it a go. And now people are like, you're so lucky. You've got the frame for it, man. And I'm like, you would not have said that 10 years ago.
What do you think if we want to kind of get into the training here, most of the questions that I got for you were all training related, by the way.
Okay, cool.
which, you know, it's funny. Sometimes, you know, we get questions for people and it's like, you know, all one thing or another, but people really wanted to know how you train. Let me just pull them up here.
I have someone, how you still have hair, actually. Oh. Literally, the very first question, how the fuck does he still have hair?
Right. So much hair. I think I'm just a bit of an anomaly on that one. I've got extremely good genetics. My dad's in his 80s and he's still got a full head of hair. So right. I can abuse this body as much as I want, and I think it's going to hang around.
It's going nowhere. I actually have a question here. If has anyone ever told you to shave your beard for contest?
No, never. And that's a good thing, because I would have told him to fuck off. But
I love it.
You got one, Dusty?
I have hundreds.
Yeah, it's funny. That was one. Has he ever been told to shave his beard?
Of those, and that's a perfect question.
I've heard people say that though, like, oh, you know, you should shave your beard. It looks dirty with the tan in it and stuff. But you've got that long beard. It's different than having like stubble on your face.
Yeah, and I think as well, like when I first kind of started with the beard, actually, like it set me apart really well, and like a few judges even said like it was distinctive. Maybe it was just the federation that I was competing in, I don't know, but it went down well. And obviously I've sort of built this persona around the look, the Viking look. So it's here to stay.
Yeah.
Well, if being 6'6" wasn't enough, grow a beard is what he's saying.
Yeah.
So this is actually a good one. I like to pick through, cause I did actually get a ton. What do you think is the key or keys to a successful off season?
Exactly the same as a kind of successful prep, consistency. Like, I think it's how you view things. I look at bodybuilding kind of like an up and down. It never ends. There's no like one season and then we stop and then we do something else. Mm-hmm. It fluctuates. So straight out of prep, it's just building things up and being consistent, not overdoing anything. That's one thing I suppose I've learned from the past, is like pushing, force feeding, you know, to an extent is needed, but for me it gets to a point and it's just not going anywhere. So it's finding that balancing point. I used to be someone who used to just want to progress everything in off season, you know, progress food, progress training. Even if my weight was going up, body weight, I'd still be like, more food.
Right.
Whereas realistically, I think there's a sort of a tipping point where you know, the weight is coming on nicely and you don't need to push just for the sake of pushing. Mm-hmm. But like with anything, you know, bodybuilding is the ultimate consistency game. It's if you're easily bored, find another sport.
Right. No, I think that's awesome, because you know, one thing that I laugh about is anytime you shared that you watch the show, you're doing your cardio on the bike watching the show. It's like, you know, and Ron and I always say the same thing. I used to tell people, if you ever want to kill me, just follow me today so that tomorrow you know exactly where I'm going to be, what time I'm going to be there. It should be very easy to kill.
Yeah. When I used to work in a gym, like the guys there, they were like, you're just like, I'd never take clients between like 11 and 2, because like, that was like my training window to get ready for training to train. And, you know, they'd know, they'd be like, oh, it's Thursday, Josh will be training legs. You know, and that's been the case until this lockdown. You know, I pretty much train legs every Thursday for 10 years.
Right.
So. Yeah. I've always said that you can tell who the really hardcore people are, because the rest of the gym can set their watch by them. You know, like that guy's in the squat rack at 7 PM on Wednesday, like every fucking week. It's crazy, you know? And it's, and I was that guy. I think we all were. Dust, I'm sure that all the gyms Dusty trains at, every single person knows his split.
Oh yeah, it gets to be the point where it's you know, what's actually funny, I put up yesterday, Ron, about getting the Humbler for another gym, and I got messages, people guessing which gym I got it for. Did you get it for this one? Because I know they don't have it. Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
gets to the point where like if I'm going in my session, and sometimes maybe someone will be on like in a piece of equipment and they know I'm going to be using that at some point, and they'll like come over and they'll be like, I've got like 5 minutes left. I'm like, oh, I'm not there for like another four sets, and they're like, oh, just wanted to check. Like.
Yeah.
I love that. So that's awesome, though.
you mentioned, it's funny, Dusty and I are trying to make an effort to not talk about the lockdown. But, you know, it's sort of when it comes around to training, I mean, what's your situation, dude?
Yeah, so I'm not one of the fortunate ones to have access to a gym or anything like that. I'm not involved with any gyms. I train at quite a few different ones. I also live in an apartment, which means that I can't get too much stuff. However, I've got enough. I've got a bar. I've got up to 160 kilos of plates, which is like 3.5 plates a side. And I'm just praying I don't go through the floor pretty much every session. So it's real back to basic stuff. It's barbell and body weight. However, it's been a really cool challenge. Like, I'm not someone, for the first couple of days, I was a bit put out. I was like, oh man, this is so weird. But, you know, we love the sport. And I think no matter what situation you're put in, you'll find a way around it. And again, I've created a structure. I created a routine. And, you know, I'm at the point now where every single session is just as hard as the gym. It just hasn't got the load and it hasn't got the sort of progressive overload element in there as much, which is a shame, but I'm trying not to dwell on it.
What's your timeline look like over there?
Well, we're getting some news on the 7th, which is Thursday, about what's going to happen moving forward. Potentially things are going to start opening up in a couple of weeks, but I think the gyms have probably got another 4 or 5 if we're lucky. So yeah, it's a long haul. Who would have thought it, at the beginning of the year?
Just fucking nuts. You know, every time I talk about it, I just think like 30 years of training, I never thought that every gym on the planet closed.
Yeah.
Like, yep. Technically, you know, like,
yeah,
pretty much every gym on the planet closed. Like, who would have thought that would ever be a thing? Like, crazy times. You know, and then it's sort of like, I mean, the entire bodybuilding industry just stopped. That also just boggles my mind.
Yeah, and, it's so strange. You know, you invest so much time into it, and then all of a sudden, like you say, it's like breathing to us. Going to the gym is just, it's who would have thought? But yeah.
Yeah. So what if people had, you know, if someone asked you, you know, what do you think you're missing the most about the gym right now? Aside from, you know, obviously the training, you know, the machines and being in the gym and having the variety, but what else about the gym do you think you're noticing now that you miss?
I mean, ironically, actually, I'm realizing that apart from that, I actually love, like, I never knew if I could train, if I ever got my own gym, like on my own, if the environment of the gym was what I needed. I'm finding out that I can train very well on my own. And the only thing really that I'm missing is the fact that I can't push as heavy and as hard. But, you know, as selfish and reclusive as it sounds, I'm not missing the atmosphere or the people too much. Now, that's a great addition. But when it comes down to what matters, that's not part of what I kind of factor in.
Right.
So well, that's good. You developed a new appreciation for just being inside your own workout.
Yeah. Yeah, and like it's not been nice to kind of figure out that I can adapt, because, you know, when you do something for so long, you think maybe, like, I'm OCD to the max about everything, and it's nice to realize that you can kind of move with the punches to a degree.
Right. No, I definitely hear that, because, you know, I know I told Ron a long time ago, the first time I went into Temple Gym, the original, literally I walked the whole gym. And I wasn't paying attention to, like, the walls. I was looking at the equipment. I just remember thinking to myself, I traveled to 3 different gyms to train because I like this piece of equipment and I like that. And one of the best bodybuilders of all time built the best physique in the world in a gym that would fit in my 2-bedroom condo.
Yeah.
Like, it changes the way you look at things. Now, I still say, cool, I'll spoil the fuck out of myself with 3 different gyms. But you definitely see when you step back what you need and what you don't. Yeah. And you're right, because I'm the same way. I always thought I needed a partner I do like the energy of a gym. But now after a little, I fortunately have a gym I'm going to, but it's just me.
Yeah.
And now I'm realizing I probably just want to buy my own gym because I love training alone. I don't even turn the fucking lights on. I just go in, we blast, and
see. I'm sort of one of those weird people that's half extrovert, half introvert. I need like a social burst every day,
right?
Because I got this hyper social element to myself, but then I need to like completely detach from the world to recover from it. So I'm really missing. Like I didn't like realize now that gym is my only social interaction with anyone outside of my girlfriend. So it's like, you know, I miss seeing everybody and like talking, and it's like super fun for me. Right. But then I just come home and I like shut the windows and I like, you know, don't talk to me.
I completely know what you mean. To be fair, like I don't have any social interaction right now outside of what's going on my phone or my screen.
Right.
But I think the fact that, you know, I've got a lot of friends and things like that and clients who I'm kind of keeping in contact with. So I feel the social aspects there, but it isn't the same. Like, God, well, I had a face-to-face conversation with someone. For
Spend a little bit more time at the grocery store checking out these days.
Yeah.
Tell me about your day, ma'am. Sorry, you got to get the fuck out of here.
Stop breathing on me.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. Do you have people messaging you? Like me and Dusty have talked about this. You know, people messaging you just expressing that they're having a hard time with not being able to train. You know, I mean, obviously you have weights, but some people don't have anything. You know, what sort of stuff are you hearing from people like that?
Yeah, I think like I got a really good reception to begin with because I only got kind of a barbell and things a couple of weeks in. So I was literally doing banded stuff and I was posting about it because, you know, I just wanted people to realize that, you know, especially early on, I had clients who were like, well, if I can't go to the gym, there's no point. There's just no point. But, you know, I'm one of these who something is better than nothing. And if it's training with a band versus not training, I will still train with a band. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I got a lot of messages saying like, oh, I'm finding it really hard, but it's cool to see that, you know, you're, you know, doing this. And that was really nice. But yeah, I mean, every time I post like something, you know, training in my spare room, I'll have someone say, man, I miss the gym so much. Like, and I'm like, I'm right there with you. You know what I mean? I just try not to think about it because there's nothing we can do right now.
Right.
Plus, Dusty's used to that row of steppers at Life, at that one gym with all the hot girls on it. So I know
Lifetime,
there's some withdrawal at Lifetime.
Yeah, I don't actually get on them, but I do walk by them. So.
back and forth.
I've stood up there for a while drinking a drink, but eventually someone throws me off. Like, dude, if you're not using it.
Yes.
All right, so I want to jam a few of these, too, because I do have a bunch. So we do have, even though yours came up, what would you say are tips for growing your limbs as a taller bodybuilder? Because, you know, you are the anomaly.
Yes, help me out.
I mean, limbs, legs I can help with, arms I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah, for me anyway, they are a nemesis, but we're getting there. I squatted early on, you know, for legs and stuff like that, but I've not squatted now for kind of 6 years in any sort of consistency. If ever I squat, it's just out of pleasure rather than out of trying to be productive. When I program kind of for myself and for clients, it doesn't change too much. You know, you find exercises that work and feel good for the individual, mm-hmm. and then you run with them and you absolutely milk them for all they're worth. And you know, I think often tall guys come to me and they expect that I've got some sort of tall guy program, which I'm sure I could write up and sell and people would buy, but it would be just a normal program, you know?
Right.
I think what we alluded to earlier about having that appreciation that being taller is just going to take more time. And mm-hmm. you're just going to be, you need to be that little bit more patient with things. And if something isn't working, you know, don't be scared to try something else. I say that to me as much as anyone for my like arm work, for example, arm training. I was like a push pull legs guy for a long time. And that's an amazing kind of split for building up overall mass. But then when it came down to it, I was like, my arms are fucking shit. Like I need to do something else. This isn't kind of giving them enough love. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I said, they're a work in progress, but I think they're getting there.
what do you think? Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Doug.
I just said that's the whole point though, right? Is the consistency. Cause I feel like, and this is kind of what I was hoping we could get to is, I feel like a lot of people, it's like calves, right? I just can't get my calves to grow. And after a while, you're like, but I've never actually seen you train calves. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like a lot of people, they don't obsess over it in action. They obsess over it in words. Because it's like, if you're nailing your, like, if your legs need to grow, then you fucking obsess over how to make them grow. And then first and foremost, like you said, you know, when's the last time you missed a meal?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I always feel like that's the thing that we kick back to when I get questions on my Q&As. People will be like, how do I grow this? And I'll message them back and be like, what'd you eat for meal 3 on Tuesday?
Yeah.
If you don't know that fucking answer, then don't worry about what you're doing in the gym. Because I can tell you what I ate on Tuesday for sure. Because it's the same thing I ate today and tomorrow. And you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I think that shit gets missed, particularly when you're chasing something like as a tall guy. Because I hear it all the time. And I did. Like I said in the beginning of this, I had no fucking idea you were 6'6". I just saw you were a fucking monster. And I'm like, my brain goes, oh, he's a big dude. 5'10", 6 foot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because you're just filled out. I mean, you're like Tony Freeman legs. Jesus.
Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
what sort of training volume do you prescribe to? Like, are you sort of a, you know, a lower volume rest pause type guy, or do you pound more sets?
I'm more progressive overload than anything. Like, I suppose underpin it, but right.
Then you had to give it a label.
Yeah, like that would be the meat and potatoes part of it, and then everything else out of that kind of is more focused on specifics. So. In terms of volume, for myself, like coming from swimming, my volume tolerance was huge. So when I started out training, I could do everything every day, all the time, and just recover and be fine. Obviously, as I got stronger, as I got bigger, I needed to get more recovery in. So kind of now I'm at a lot more of a kind of balanced point with things. But I always try. One thing that's changed probably over the last 4 years is focusing on actually getting the most out of what you do rather than just doing more, because anyone could do like another 3 sets. You know, you're just exercising, you're not training, you know, you're moving weight. Whereas every kind of program I set up, it depends on the individual and their sort of mindset. If they can attack something, then we can get away with probably a fairly small amount of work, because I know they're going to give it 100%. Whereas if someone else is a little bit, I don't know, more of a pussy, then they might need a little bit more volume to accrue the same sort of overall effort, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's where my training's changed, is I just make sure that what I do is worth doing. And I have a reason for it. Do you know what I mean? If someone asks, why are you doing that there? I could say, and that's, you know, important, rather than just being like, nah, someone else is doing it, so I thought I'd do it.
Right. Right. What have you found to be, things that you've done, like you said, your arms are a work in progress. What do you think has helped?
So giving them their own day, and then obviously also tagging them on to like a respective pull and pull session. So I'm hitting them more frequently first and foremost. But also just break, like, it's funny, I've just gone on about progressive overload and now I'm going to completely throw that out the window and say arms is completely the opposite for me. Mm-hmm. I think the more control, the more tension I have, the more I can actually put and place and feel, and the more damage I can do. You know, particularly when it comes to biceps, I need to be in a locked in position to get them really working. Otherwise I just find that other things are moving and I'm not feeling it half as much. So that would definitely be, it's the precision element again of training rather than just doing curls because everyone else is doing them.
I feel like in my post competition years, since I, you know, stopped competing, I feel like I've figured out some stuff for my arms that I wish I would have known. I wish I would have admitted to when I was younger, like how I think for me with my structure and the length of my limbs, cables, I do almost my entire tricep workout on cables.
Yeah.
Like a huge portion of the time. They're just amazing for constant tension and all. I can, you can turn and just like, you can change the strength curve and you can do all types of things. And you know, it's because I got older, everything with the bar started hurting my elbows.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I've worn my fucking joints out with the bar, just from you know? So just, yeah, just stuff like that, you know? And then, you know, Dusty has like Teflon elbows, so he still does 225 pound skull crushers. So,
but you're right though. It's very, I think you nailed it, is making sure what's moving weight, you know? And I feel that way with almost everything, but like, it's funny because I literally have the same conversation with people. Like, okay, this is the way you buy old, but not biceps. They're their own fucking thing.
Like,
you know, like I'm over there doing curls with like 40s and I'm so locked in, and there's a 116 pound kid next to me doing the 50s.
What
the fuck?
We did a really funny video at Mutant. They filmed an arm workout of Dusty, and then when they edited it, they put heavy metal behind all the tricep sets and like relaxing, like, what is it, like elevator music when you would do the bicep sets? Because you were saying, you're like, triceps I train really heavy and biceps I train light.
Yeah.
And it was just funny. The video came out really good.
It's basically exactly how it works. But that also makes it hard for me because I like training fucking heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So like I have to literally have a different gear in my brain for bicep training to enjoy it, you know, because I need them. So it's like, that's why I tend to break it up. Like I'll do some boring bicep stuff. I'm like, we should go put a shit ton of weight on a bar and see what I can do with it for triceps. And then I wander back over to do this. But nah, I love hearing that, because I think that that's what people are afraid of, is trying. Like, don't be afraid to throw out the fucking window the rules of what you think works on everything else. Because if your biceps suck, then those rules aren't working.
Yeah.
You know? I wanted to ask you about, you know, you're an athlete, come from an athlete background, and, you know, you've used the word sport several times. But I always say that I consider bodybuilding kind of a fusion between artistic expression of some kind and sport. How do you feel about that? And do you think there's, what's your take on the art side of bodybuilding? Like, you're presenting something.
Yeah, I think I certainly see it more as a sport, but we cannot deny, like, you know, that it's funny because it's a sport for me like 90% of the time. And then when I actually get on stage, then it's an art form. So obviously throughout the process to stage, you need to consider the final form. One thing I do think people like kind of overthink is like the little shit early on. Like right now, like if you're starting out, build something worth putting on stage before worrying about, like for me, the arms, you know, specifically. But I think, I mean, I love the art side of things, and it's something I never thought I would. I remember before my first show, I was like, this is going to go one of two ways. I'm either going to go up there, get stage fright, hate my life and wish I'd never done it, or I'm gonna, you know, enjoy it. And I absolutely fucking loved it. And like, I never thought, I'm quite an introvert person, particularly back then. And to go up there and to be able to kind of almost put on a different face and a different kind of persona and kind of display that was really cool. So I only really consider the artistic side of things, like leading into a show and the prep. Like I put a lot of time into posing, just doing it well. I'm not one of these kind of fancy classic guys who's going to smooth move around the stage and look, you know, really, really good with it. You know, you pose to your physique, and I'm a big guy, so I'm going to do some big poses. But at the same time, I want to make sure that those poses are refined and, you know, I can hit them really well.
Mm-hmm. Because one of the things about your physique that I think stands out is that you've kept your waist really small, you know, at a massive body weight, which is something that a lot of people have a problem with. Have you run into any points in your growing where you thought your waist changed at all and you had to bring it back down? Or was there anything you throttled back on where you thought it might be might be affecting your, because you know how I always say, if a tall guy gets a big waist, he's kind of done. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you've managed to keep yours small.
Yeah, it's always been, I suppose, it's always been something I've been aware of. I think I probably have been more conscious of taking control over it for the past three or so years. I'd say probably around 2000, actually maybe a bit more, 2015, 2016. I put on a lot of weight and I was, you know, I put a lot of size on stage, but I also remember seeing some pictures and thinking, I don't know if that was poor waist control on stage or, you know, things were starting to kind of not look so good. And I think from an off-season point of view, that's maybe one thing that I have changed is, like, I used to off-season, I just used to eat and eat and eat and plow it in and get heavy. I don't think I've been the same weight. Like, I get to about kind of 330 off-season, peak off-season, and I've been there pretty much the same for the past 4 or 5 years. I've just been in slightly better shape every time. So that's right. One thing where, rather than just, like I said earlier, needlessly pushing and pushing and pushing for weight, I've been a bit more kind of cautious of. And I do, like, I say I practice vacuums. I mean, my attempt at a vacuum is feeble, but I'm aware of the muscles involved to try and at least, like, help. You know, I do vacuums every day. So it's definitely not something that's just happened. I always, like, you know, as a big guy, it's harder to put on tissue. The bigger your waist gets, the more tissue you need to put on. So, you know, it's finding that balancing point. And, you know, some of my shots are made 10 times better because of the taper that I've got.
What do you do for abs? Because it's one thing, like, it's funny. So I messaged Josh. I'm like, hey, send me a picture so I can, I just wanted a great shot and I was too lazy to go through his picture. So he sends me a picture. I load it, put up my question, and I text him back. I'm like, that's fucking retarded. Like, I didn't even look at it until I got it done, but you have a shit ton of detail in your midsection. Like, what do you do for abs? Because that's something I think also when you have abs, obliques, serratus, all that shit, it just gives you so much to look at. I feel like that's something that gets overlooked, particularly by guys who are chasing size, because we're all about the deadlifts, the squats, and it's abs and etching and detail kind of goes down the line. I mean, what do you do with that? Because if you tell me it's genetic, I'm hanging up.
<Go ahead. laughs> I mean, like, first of all, like, for a lot of big guys, like you say, if they are chasing size, it's sometimes when they come to the stage they're still chasing size, and I don't think they always, you're an exception, Dusty, your condition's insane, so this is, like, not including you, but, like, they don't necessarily push the body fat to the point where they could potentially see that detail. Because I've always been tall, I've never had that issue where I felt anything about my weight, because I've never really had anything to compare to. I've not had, you know, someone else to be like, oh man, like, he's my size and my weight, I need to be bigger. Like, right. I just wanted to, every prep I go in and I want to, like, I want to lose my face, I want to lose my skin, and I want to just die. And that always helps to get the best details out. When it comes to, when it comes to direct ab training, off season, I do it on my rest days, maybe 15 minutes, nothing crazy at all. Mm-hmm. But on prep, I'll do it after every cardio session in the morning. So I'm doing, again, a 15-minute sort of circuit of sit-ups, leg raises, planks, and I go from there. And maybe sometimes I'll start with, like, 2 rounds, then I'll go 3 rounds, 4 rounds. Everything I do on prep tends to be progressive in some way. So I do a lot of ab work. And then obviously posing. Like, I try and pose from kind of 10 weeks out, you know, 2-3 times a week, and again increase the frequency of that through the prep.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's, I knew it had to be something, because, I mean, you know, yeah, your conditioning is nuts, but I mean, take a look at that picture I posted up, Ron. I mean, you have it now. I'm like,
yeah,
fuck. Like, yeah, no, I do think it gives you a lot to look at, you know what I mean? And I think a lot of guys don't see that. It's, or if you genetically have flat abs, it's one of those things where it's like, ah, because you kind of have a dead zone in your physique where there's nothing going on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if a tall guy's not peeled, it's a lot of real estate to not have detail on.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of canvas without paint on it there if there's no detail, no fibers moving.
I always tell clients in bodybuilders, I say, you know, the judges have to look at everyone. They have to. But it's, who does their eye kind of want to keep going back to?
Yeah.
And that's why conditioning and that shit is so crazy, because, you know, as you stated, everyone wants to hold. I think there's two types of people. The guy who is so obsessed with the scale that he never gets in shape, And then someone like myself, who I could never prep myself because I would emaciate. There's no way in hell I would take a cheat meal or a high day ever, because I'd be like, I'd get a little harder.
Yeah,
I'd get a little harder.
You'd wind up 220.
Dude, you're 211 pounds. You need to knock that shit off.
What's your split with regards to like frequency and stuff? You said you had an arm day, but I had two people ask how many times a week you train legs.
Just once a week. So I used to train them twice, probably for the first, or for a good 3-4 years, kind of in the middle of the decade I've been going.
You were on a push-pull leg, so it kind of come around every 6-7 days, twice.
Yeah, I think then I may have even been doing something like back, chest, hamstrings, or quads, and then shoulders and hamstrings. So like hitting pretty much body part split.
Right. Right. Okay.
But obviously hitting legs twice in a week. Whereas now I am doing, I do one pull session a week. I do one leg session a week. I do two push sessions because for me, kind of chest and shoulders are something I've always wanted more of, and particularly on the chest side of things. And then obviously the arms have now come into it as well. I always make sure like I hit, like I do my stiff leg deadlifts on leg day. So technically I'm hitting a posterior chain movement on that, and I'm hitting a back kind of twice a week. Right. But back's always been something I've been able to connect with really well. So I haven't felt the need to kind of increase. And I suppose I'm happy with how it is and how it's developed. And the other things I feel I want to do more with. So I put more effort in, I suppose, in terms of frequency.
Yeah, no, that makes sense for sure. Now I'm like, God, I don't have enough photos of the back to know what the fuck you got going on back there.
Oh, yeah, there's some good ones.
I haven't stalked you nearly good enough, Josh.
There's some good ones. The glutes dialed right in a bunch of shots, too.
Yeah.
So here's one thing that they jam on, or we kind of push on, too, but I love it. A viewer asked, what's the best advice you would go back and give your younger self now that you know what you do in terms of bodybuilding?
I'm gonna give that really frustrating answer, whereas I'd not change anything, because I'm someone who learns from experience and from mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I think if I came back in time and told myself something, I wouldn't listen to it. I'd still want to do and make the mistakes. Do you know what I mean? So like I always say to clients, like I say, listen, like I've done this, I've walked this path, I've made these mistakes, you know, I've done et cetera, et cetera. However, you know, you've got to obviously make your own decisions. And, you know, that's why I coach myself, because I struggle like taking advice. I listen to people and I respect a lot of people. I take a lot of things from people, but I've always kind of engaged better just doing and learning solo on that front. So yeah, I wouldn't change anything. And if I did give myself advice, I wouldn't listen to it.
I fucking love that. Now, have you always coached yourself through this whole thing, or what?
The first, so I competed in 2010 and 2012, and those first shows I had someone with me helping me with that. And they taught me the ropes. Like they weren't, they were just, he's a local guy, really a good bodybuilder in his own right. But like old school approach, hard fucking work. And that was the best start, to be honest, because like I didn't want, like I said, it got me in shape, and it got me in shape in the hardest way possible. You know, hours of cardio, you know, no cheats, no refeeds, you know, limited carbs. So to have that suffering early on, mm-hmm. it was a really kind of like I hated him at the time, but it was a blessing, because now, you know, I prep since 2000, and again, I took a break 2012 to 2014, and that's when I started prepping myself. And since then, you know, every prep has been easier. We all know that it's never easy, but you know, right. I'm not doing 2 hours of cardio a day. I'm not eating kind of 50 grams of carbs a day. I'm getting away with more, and I'm still bringing what I need to.
Right.
I had a couple people ask, and I was curious. I thought about it. How many times have people told you or asked you or suggested that you get involved in the movies?
Oh my God. honestly, I was walking the other day, and some guy I didn't even know, he was like, oh, I just started chatting. He's like, what do you do? I was like, oh, I'm a bodybuilder. He was like, you're going to get into films? I was like, no, like, but it is like, I say, if someone came up to me and was like, here's a six figure kind of check, do this TV show, do this film. I'd be like, yeah, sure, why not? I'd say, yeah, but I'm not going to go out of my way to do it. I love bodybuilding. I love the lifestyle. I love the routine. I don't really want anyone or anything to take me out of that. And I'm not like a massively extroverted human being who wants to kind of go out and, you know, really push those boundaries. I think there'll come a point maybe in a few years where it's one of those kind of bucket list things that would probably be cool to try. But it's they ask a lot though, Ron, like honestly, like at that question so much.
You just say yeah. You mean you just have such a unique, like, you know, there's not many guys your size walking around that also have the look, you know, like, yeah. Like, you know, there's guys that look like Dusty. I mean, no one wants them in a movie.
Oh, you fell out of a fucking tree. It's not good. It's not good, man. No one has ever asked me if I want to do a movie.
are you married up or anything? What's your situation?
I'm in a relationship. Yeah, I'm happy. Well, happily in a relationship. But unfortunately, this whole lockdown is putting distance between us. So it's another one. We don't live together and we're a few hours apart in the country. So, yeah, it's a bit tricky.
Oh damn! So what are the rules regarding that? Like, is it like illegal, or can you get a fine if you go visit her, or is it?
Yeah, you can get a fine, and I think at the moment it's kind of outside of your local vicinity. It's like, is it essential travel? And I mean, I'd argue it was essential travel, but I'm not sure the police are going to see it the same way. You know, so I think for both of our sort of, we're both morally quite kind of high strung, and I think we both felt it was the better thing to try for as long as possible. I'm hoping on Thursday that our prime minister says something positive, because yeah, it's getting a bit much now.
Yeah, I was gonna say I can make it a very easy essential situation. Have you ever seen her pissed off? I don't want to do this shit, dude. This is essential that I get my ass over there.
Yeah, no, I just wondered, because one of the questions was, what type of chicks go for him?
All of them. There you go. I answered
the girl. The girls that like Vikings.
Yeah, it's a funny, it's a sort of niche thing. I think, you know, there's certain girls who just love bodybuilders. There's certain people who just got a thing for the Viking looking men.
Well, that you got that TV show helping you out, right?
Oh, big time. Like that peak, like just as I was like hitting my peak.
He's like, yeah. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. I remember a few girls used to message me and be like, oh, like you look like the lead character, Ragnar. And I was like, that's a massive compliment because he's like a model. and I was like, this is working for me. This is working.
Again, something that's never happened to me, Ron, ever.
Right, yes. This falls under the categories of messages Dusty does not receive.
Yeah, ever. But I also don't get this one. So, Josh, what is your weapon of choice when the Viking needs to actually become a Viking?
It's got to be a big fuck-off double-edged, like, axe.
Yes! Like the one we got Johnny.
Yeah, hold on.
Hold on, he's got one.
Oh man. Honestly.
I fucking love that he goes, hold on. Okay. I got you.
I'll show you guys something.
That's the one.
Look at there we go. See?
Send it over.
It's got an edge on it too. You could chop down a tree with this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another Viking.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I got a friend of mine who made it for me. Yeah. So
it's on my to-do list. At some point, I'm gonna get like some obscene weapon and just have it to take photos with more than anything, and you know, go around and do like a Comic-Con or something, dressed as a Viking with a big old axe.
You don't really have to dress as a Viking. I think you're kind of already there. You probably show up in a t-shirt and they'd get it.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, tank top and an axe. I think people would go Viking. Got it. Yeah.
you could get off the boat with jeans and chucks on. And
it's a new age Viking. We know exactly what he is.
Bring in it.
Holy shit.
Here's one. Supercar or luxury SUV?
Probably the SUV. I'm not big on my cars, but just to think, I don't think I'm fitting in many supercars.
Right. You know? So you're like me. You go practical.
Yeah. Like I've got like quite a nice, just like an Audi A6, like a saloon car. And it's, something comfy that I can just put it on cruise control, get where I need to go. It looks good enough, you know what I mean? It's not overly flashy, but it does the job.
Yeah.
That would be my immediate thought is how do you fit in things? Because, you know, when I get on an airplane, the very first thing I think of is, thank fucking God I'm 5'10". Uh-huh. Because being wide sucks, but being tall would really fucking suck.
Being tall is worse.
And you have both.
Yeah.
So, what the hell is that like, dude? I mean, when you got an airplane, how everyone hates you, number one. Oh. They don't want to sit next to you.
So, like, obviously, no one likes to sit, like, on an airplane. You know, before they take off, people are, like, first on the plane. I'm like, what are you doing? You're just going to sit in a small seat for, like, half an hour while everyone else comes on. So I always leave it to the end. And, you know, I'll walk on the plane. There'll be the odd seat spare. I'll walk down the aisle. The people next to these seats are like, shit, is it me?
Coughing, is it me? Coughing, is it me? Coughing.
They're like praying I'm not going to sit next to them. But this one time, so I did body power in India a couple of years ago now. And on the flight home, I sat next to an Indian gentleman. And as soon as I sat down, he called over the steward. And he started, I had my headphones in, but I didn't have the music playing because I wanted to know what he was saying. And he was going, oh, I can't sit here. This is unreasonable. You can't expect me to sit next to this guy. Like, you know, I can't. And I was like, we had the extra leg room. I was like, chill out, mate. It's all right. But anyway, he kicked off a fuss. They brought on ground staff. They were like trying to figure this out. The plane was completely full. He couldn't move. And in the end, like another passenger said, like, oh, like I'll switch with him. So they moved there. And then when it calmed down, like I just asked the steward over and I took my headphones out and I said, I heard everything. And, you know, he was pretty rude and I don't think he dealt with that very well. And I said, I know he sit just behind me and like, I really want to punch him. Like I'm quite a calm guy, but I really want to punch him. And anyway, this steward then like literally ran off to the front of the plane. The head steward came to me, was like, can you come with me? And I was like, okay. He was like, have you got your bag? I was like, yeah. Took me first class upgrade.
Oh shit!
I was living the dream. Emirates flight, first grade up, first class. I'd never experienced anything like it.
Oh, they ruined you. You can never fly again now.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem.
That's what happens.
That's why he said that was years ago. He hasn't been on a plane since. Fuck
yeah! I'm still saving up.
British Airways lost all my food one year, so when I flew home from Body Power, they put us all in first class. And every flight since then has sucked because he was comparing it to British Airways first class, you know?
Yeah, it's a blessing and a curse.
Oh, God.
What we know you watch a show.
Yeah.
We see your veiny quads pedaling the bike every time you post a story. What other podcasts do you listen to, bodybuilding or not?
So it's mainly bodybuilding. Like I love the whole channel you guys are on. Like I listened to one with Scott the other day. I can't remember who he was talking to.
Vice's Radio, the whole network.
Yeah. I listened to Fuad and Luke's Bodybuilding and Bollocks. That's just crazy content. I can't say that's really, I didn't learn much there, but I certainly enjoy it.
Is that still bodybuilding?
Yeah, exactly.
It's sprinkled in.
It's like how MTV stopped playing music.
Yeah.
The Bullocks and what is it? B&B.
Bullocks.
It's so funny. Everyone just calls it Luke and Fuad.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they actually discuss bodybuilding on that particular show anymore.
I don't think so. They always start. They're like, oh, we've got like a ton of questions today. And then like 2 hours in, they'll be like, we've not answered any questions.
Luke's talking about his dog's butt.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's a UK one that some of the guys here do, like James Hollingshead and a couple of others, called the UK Pro Muscle Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So they do like that. Four-way, don't they? They got the four-way screen sometimes.
Yeah. It's the three of them normally. And then they try and get kind of guests on quite a bit. So that's the one I really enjoy because I know all of those guys quite well. So it's just,
yeah.
Like especially it's like with you two, although I've met Ron once, but I've never met you, Dusty. Like, I feel like I know you guys because I watch the podcast so much. I'm like, oh, just going to have an evening with the boys.
Right.
Yeah. That's exactly what the goal was. We weren't trying to save anybody.
Yeah.
Oh,
it'd have to start with me if we were doing that. So fuck.
You know, trying to influence the world, just sort of, you know, just trying to have a, well, I mean, who doesn't sort of envy what Rogan did, right? I mean, like the coolest idea ever. And, you know, it's so funny to think of what that show started as. You know, I've been watching Rogan since he started. If you go back and watch like episode 1 on YouTube, it's like, holy shit. And now he's got more pull than CNN. It's like right. just fucking bizarre.
Everyone wants to be on that show now.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole premise was just having a conversation, you know, funny that, you know.
No, but that's it, though. It's the content, though. Like, so for me, like, I love listening to you guys because you get guests on or whatever. You just talk, you know, answer questions. And I'm there so often just going like, yeah, that's like that's what I think. And it's just sometimes really nice to have that kind of connection and to know that, you know, what if it's a training idea or a nutrition thing, it's like, it's cool. So many times I'm like, these guys are on my level. This is so good. And then to be asked on, I was like, this is really cool.
I wanted to ask you one of my favorite questions. I've only asked a couple people, but I wanted to ask you if there was any moment in your life that you think has greatly influenced your bodybuilding work ethic and drive. We've heard a few awesome stories from people about actual moments they remember or reasons why they think they do this. What do you think?
I mean, when it comes to drive and like work ethic, like when I swam, particularly when I swam when I was still at school, so from like the ages of like 10 to 16, I remember my coach so clearly now, like a guy called Tony. And I remember one specific set where I was like, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. And I think still I've ever done. And I also remember thinking, but I did it. Like, it's that moment of realization that you can push yourself fucking hard and you know, you're not going to die. You're going to wish you were dead, but you're not going to die. So like, I go back to that quite a lot when in terms of just how hard, you know, you can push yourself. In terms of like a defining moment in bodybuilding, nothing kind of jumps out at me. Like I said, I remember so vividly how much I enjoyed my first show and how I really felt like I belonged on stage, even though if you looked at the pictures, you know, and if I saw someone looking like me now, I'd be like, they got a long road if they want to make a go of this bodybuilding. Like, you know what I mean? Like I wouldn't blame them if they called it a day, because I did not look like a bodybuilder. I looked like, you know, a slightly jacked up swimmer. So, you know, the fact that I just loved it and, you know, I'm someone who is all or nothing and it's a passion like beyond everything. So moments aren't there necessarily, but just the constant. I'm always reminded how much I love this. Just little things. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like so often.
What about that first show? Is it what? Do you remember, like you said, you vividly remember it? Was it the process of like lining up backstage, getting ready to go on? Like, was it the moment being, or was it just the whole idea of it? What was so amazing to you?
I mean, the whole experience was something else. It's probably like I had, I think probably about 10 friends come and watch that. I'm not sure I've had 10 friends come and watch a show since. So I remember it was a pretty big deal, but I also remember the sheer rush of adrenaline on stage. And I still get that now, like be it a guest pose, be it whatever, like that high, euphoric high, you get out on stage. And this is why I post so much, because my mind just goes blank. Like it's autopilot and like my heart's going, my mind's racing. And then you come into the room and you see the lights and you see the judges and you see the people, but by which point, hopefully you've hit that front relaxed and you've created an impression. So I always just remember that, and like I'm constantly reminded of how much I enjoy it. Although I didn't look like a bodybuilder, I did the classic class as it was back then, and I came third out of I think like 8 guys. So that was obviously not only did I really enjoy being on stage more, but there was also a little bit of kind of external gratification to kind of push me on as well.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I think that's a big thing you nailed, because a lot of guys, I don't know if you've gotten this, but I get, and Ron, I'm sure you have too, is I get messages and people say, will you look at my pictures and tell me if I should try bodybuilding? And I'm like, what? If you need to ask me, then what? Like nobody came up to me and said, hey, you should get into bodybuilding. Like I have the wrong frame in every possible way to do this. It was just something I wanted to do. And then once I got into it, I was like, I'm going to do this, the end, you know, and literally had people laugh. So I loved hearing that, you know, you're like, I didn't look like a bodybuilder, I look like a swimmer. Because I think when people look at you, they look at Ron, they look at me, the assumption is, oh, you've always looked some level of that.
Yeah, you know, you grew up into that.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I'm sort of the same when I started training. Everyone's like, well, you're over 6 feet. So, I mean, like the last guy that was over 6 feet was Arnold, and that was a 70. So don't even worry about it.
Don't bother, yeah.
Yeah, don't bother. Like, I heard that all my life.
You get it so much from guys kind of, you know, like going, oh, am I ready to compete? Should I compete? Like, if you want to compete, compete. Because if you start thinking you're not going to be you're never going to be ready. Like, you know, when we go on stage now, we still think, I wish I looked a bit bigger. I wish I looked a bit harder. Like, it's endless pursuit of perfection. You're never going to get there. But the sooner you get on stage, the sooner you can figure out, A, if you actually like it, B, if you've actually got the balls to push yourself to get there. And then you can decide if it's something you want to pursue. So I'm always like, you know, just go for it. Just get involved.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% because that's like the – guys will ask me that, like, am I big enough? And we've had people come on and say, like, well, you know, you should wait to compete until you have enough size. And I actually disagree. I think you should compete as soon as you think you want to find out if you even like bodybuilding. Because you might like working out.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You might just love slanging and banging weights and calling it a day. But liking bodybuilding is a different fucking thing.
Different level.
You know, I mean, I love training, but I really fucking love bodybuilding. Like, when I have a prep that's, I mean, Chris will tell you, I've had a couple preps that were just so smooth, and I was just shredding, and he would literally call me and be like, don't worry. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, I know you're worried that you're not suffering. Yeah. Because it's a mind fuck. You're like, you look at the pictures, they look fine, but your brain, you're like, I must be fat.
Yeah,
this doesn't suck at all. Like, what's going on?
You know, and you still feel good, and you're like, I look good, but I don't feel like death, and I think this is wrong. Like, something needs to.
Yeah. Like, if you do enough shows, you'll get one of those.
Yeah,
and I hate those.
And that's one thing, like you said earlier, Dusty, about prepping. Why you couldn't prep yourself? Like, I'm constantly like, almost like pulling myself back when I prep. Because I know, like, the potential to just drive myself into the ground is there, and I need to stick to what I know. Like, so I just take it all back as if I was, like, addressing a client. I'd be like, right, here are this week's changes. Do them. Forget about everything else, and right. I'll see you next week.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
Well, it's going to be tough for you, too, with your ability to do so much. I mean, I assume I would just break down if I did what your body is capable of, not what you're doing, but what you're capable of with the swimming and stuff. I think I'd just start breaking, you know.
I think the key to coaching yourself is you have to set consultation appointments with yourself.
Yeah.
Because if you start adjusting, like, you know,
emotionally,
when you start adjusting constantly, like every single day you're adjusting stuff, that it just gets works. It's chaos. You have to be like, okay, I'm not going to worry about anything that happens until Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, my next appointment.
I'll check in with myself. I'll be like, right, today is Josh's check-in, and we'll go through everything, have a look. What's my weight? What are my measurements?
What has your effort been like out of 10?
At least that's one thing I can always guarantee is the effort is there.
Do you take pictures that you look at, or do you actually go off the mirror? I mean, what do you do?
I hate pictures. I'm my worst critic. I'll take pictures when I start thinking they're worth putting on Instagram. So we're talking 6 weeks out.
2 weeks out.
So the morning of the show, I take 5 pictures.
Yeah.
But the rest of the time, I'll literally just stand in front of the mirror. I'll have a look. I'll go off of weight. Like, I know, you know, weight is, it's something we can track, but it's obviously not the be all and end all.
Right.
But it's also like, yeah, it's having the faith. Like, I've done it enough now that, you know, I know sometimes I might not get a drop, but I also know that I give 100%. So, you know, sometimes it is just sticking to your guns and being like, it's going to come, just stick with it. I'm also someone who tends to do like a 16-week prep, and the first 10 weeks, like, I'll change my diet and my cardio, but my body just won't change. And then 6 weeks, I'll go from I'm ready. I'm just like that. I'm good.
Right.
Again, like, I look at the mirror, but I try not to take too much notice, just because I know from experience that it's not always the most reliable for me.
That might be why you should prep yourself, because I think I would worry if I worked with you. Yeah. If I was prepping someone and we weren't changing for fucking like 2 months, I'd be like, did I forget how to prep someone? Like, what the fuck is going on here? Yeah. You know, because you have expect, especially in the beginning. I mean, I'm expecting some pretty blatant milestones for the first 6 weeks. You know what I mean? Yeah, don't hire me. It's not going to work.
Our body does some weird shit. Like I when I used to go like work in the gym as a PT, I'd get in there and like it would, people would know I was prepping, and then it would be one day they'd be like, "What the hell happened? You're ready?" I'm like, "Yeah, just that thing happened. You know, it happens when
that thing."
That thing where I prep for a while and then my body decides to actually appreciate and do something about it.
Yeah, I've seen that many times. I've seen that many times. You show up to have a look at somebody and all of a sudden they're a different human.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. So it's been great having you on, man. You know, you gave us over an hour of your time, which is really appreciated, dude.
I've got a lot of time at the moment.
But before we go, just one more question kind of related to everything that's going on right now. You know, what sort of message would you give to everyone out there who's, you know, maybe having like a hard time with this, you know, anything that you could tell them?
I think it's just from a bodybuilding point of view, and like, you know, I'm not a life coach, I'm not a fucking guru, so I'll talk from bodybuilding. You know, we have two options right now. We have the option of, you know, feel sorry for yourselves, do nothing, or do everything you can. You know, we still have full control over what we can put in our mouths, you know, the effort we put into whatever training we have available. Like I said, I did the first couple of weeks just with bands. You know, if you can start to create that mindset of positivity in the shittiest of times, just imagine how amazing and how strong you're going to be when we can get back in the gym and you can put a full hardcore session together. So yeah, build that mindset now and reap the rewards in hopefully a few weeks time.
Nice.
Well, I'll be back in the gym soon. It'll be our finest hour.
Yes, exactly. My God, it'll feel good.
Okay. Thanks a lot, my friend.
No worries. Thank you so
and
much.
We really hope to get over to Body Power next year like we should.
Yes.
And see you. Hopefully we're all getting on planes and doing our shit.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really can't wait. So meet you properly, Dusty.
No doubt. For sure. Now that we already know each other.
I know, exactly.
Okay, right, thanks, brother. Buddy.
Thank you so much. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Okay, yep, cheers.
Bye.
Josh, cool guy.
Yeah, I didn't even realize how long it had been.
Yeah.
I know when it's good when I'm like, oh, fuck, it's 12 o'clock. Okay.
Yeah, we jammed for a while. Yeah, it's funny. When I went to let him go, you looked like you were like, it's early.
Yeah, I didn't even realize. I actually tapped my phone. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, no. I was like, oh, shit, we ate up this guy's morning.
I should have known. I was starting to get hungry, so that makes sense.
It's just late afternoon over there in the UK.
Yeah. Yeah, and he stuck to our normal times. Scott texted me. He's like, what time are we on? I'm like, I don't bend for these people. Fuck that.
No, it's very, very cool to see him again. And yeah, he was at this Descendant of Odin was the brand that he was at. I'm not sure if he's still, you know, with them or not, but they had this really cool booth that had like a Viking boat. And awesome. It was all like really, it was really cool. So I went and checked that out for a while, but that's where I met him. And we just, you know, just jammed about bodybuilding and life. And I was like, oh, this dude's cool. And then he, you know, kept seeing him over the weekend. You know, once you meet somebody, you keep seeing him.
Just sort of feel like you're stalking him a little bit. Well, he's also 6'6", so.
Yeah. So what's going on in Dusty's world?
Man, things are cranking now. I've got the gym situation's good. Eating's good. Things are just flowing at the moment. So I'm finally settled into off season again. I made some tweaks. I don't even remember if we talked about them, but I'm doing a couple shakes a day now. Doing the ISO a couple times a day. Because dude, I was having a hard time eating enough. Like dude, I mean, I have not, you know this, I have not pushed for size in so long. And I don't know if I'm older or lazy as fuck or what, but like eating the amount of food I needed to eat was getting brutal. And Dante was like, dude, pull two meals, put in shakes, but nothing else. Like I'm not adding anything to them. I'm literally doing three scoops of the ISO, which I'm rotating flavors. Right now I'm back to caramel, chocolate caramel. Sorry, you guys need to know this. But I do three scoops of, what are you got? What are you doing?
Caramel, the caramel, salted caramel chocolate with some banana flavor ISO added is unfucking believable.
If I'm doing three scoops, is that like a 2-to-1 ratio?
2-to-1. 2-to-1.
Because you know I actually have all of them. So
2 caramel, 1 banana.
I think people would be a little bit fucking thrown off if they saw my cupboard because I actually
accidental do discovery.
And what'd you do? Would you run out one day and you needed a little more protein?
I blended a banana into a caramel shake at the gym one day and I was like, holy fuck, this is awesome. And then one day we were out of bananas. So I used banana powder in there. It was the same. I was like, holy fuck, it's just as good.
The fucking gem. He walked out living at that point. Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, because the flavor is perfect. So it's exactly like putting a banana in. It's just right. Awesome.
Well, okay, cool, sorry. Because I do. That's good. No, that don't be sorry for that.
Sidebar you with my flavor emergency.
Well, now I'm starting to think. I'm like, oh shit, I gotta try that. But no, so I do that twice a day. And what's happened is the meals after it, I'm starving.
Yes.
So I'm actually getting those calories in that I skipped in that meal in the next one. And the other thing is, just like Josh was talking about, my obsession is I really want to bring my waist down. Like, if I can bring my waist down, and I've never truthfully ever thought about it. So I have some big ass goals for what I think I can do to my waistline before I compete again. So I'd like to see it down a couple of inches. Yes. And I think it's completely feasible, especially in this way, because now, like, middle of the day, I can do vacuum training.
Right.
Which before, I could pull my stomach, but it wasn't moving.
Like, yeah, 4 pounds of meat in you by meal three.
Yeah. So it's been a huge thing. And honestly, I forgot about how convenient it is to literally have a shake that you enjoy with just water. I literally put 3 scoops in just water and shake it. And I'm like, it's funny because I'm telling a friend, I'm like, I know I sound like I'm advertising, but I'm telling you, don't buy any other protein. Water. Oh. Shake, good to go, I promise. Because even when this whole time of meeting, I always, make everything fucking crazy. I put other shit in, and so I never actually drank just a shake.
So you're still getting your total carbs and fats out of your other meals, but it's almost just giving your digestive system a break on those two liquid meals with no carbs, and there's no carbs and fats added to them, so they just go right through like water, and it's easy. I see the sense in that. I mean, that could definitely be a strategy. I mean, I say in last show that I always used 2 shakes a day my whole life. Yeah. And maybe that's – but then I would eat like off season when I was big and heavy. Like my meals would be big.
Yeah. But, so I'm smashing. I had a shake before this. The next meal that I eat is enormous.
Yeah.
But it doesn't even feel enormous because I knock it down. And the other thing is I like to train
3 cups of pasta with 10 ounces of steak. Like just fucking
Yeah. You knock it down. So it's funny because the first time I ate, we started doing this. I was doing 3 shakes a day, and that worked like 2 days. I was like, Dante, I'm fucking starving. This ain't going to work. So we brought it down to 2. But I finished what I had planned to eat. I was like, holy shit, I'm going to eat more. So I went back in the kitchen, fucking threw some more food down. And I just saw like, how much can I eat? So I just ate until I don't eat to stuffed anymore. I eat to full.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was a good 300, 400 calories above what I had planned to eat in that meal. So I was like, okay, this is going to work, It's been nice. Plus I like to train on empty. So I drink a shake and then an hour later I'm in the gym. So it's perfect. You know,
that would almost completely negate any need for drinking any aminos or anything while you were training. If you just had 3 scoops of isolate an hour before you train, your bloodstream's full.
Oh, it's jammed. Yeah, I'm really drinking the tiger's blood while I'm training just because I like it.
Oh, that's the only flavor I got. No, man, it's I guess how many weeks has shit? How many? We closed the gym March 20th, so it's been like, fuck.
You're pushing 8 weeks almost, right?
Six, 7 at least. Yeah, it's craziness. So it's just been. People ask me all the time, "What's it like to train in there without anybody in there?" And I think about it sometimes. Like sometimes during my workout, I actually think like, this is weird,
Well, your gym is huge. That's the other thing.
Yeah, it's funny.
Like when you're training in, 18,000 square feet?
It's actually 14,000, but it's got a 30-foot ceiling. So it gives it that fucking massive feel, Oh, Dusty froze on me. Dusty is frozen.
I think
you're okay,
I'm back.
There, buddy.
I'm back.
I think a comet passed over Arizona and cut your Wi-Fi feed.
Dicks. Yeah, I couldn't. Your gym alone would almost be eerie.
So it's funny. So when my girlfriend goes in to train, she wears her headphones.
Right.
Because she just likes wearing her headphones. She's got her music on her phone and all that bullshit. Right.
Right.
Don't blame her. But I walk in like. I'll walk in and it's silent in there and she's working out over in the corner with her headphones on. That's too weird.
You hear the cable moving.
Yeah, you can hear the cable. Cha-ching, cha-ching. And it's weird. And So when I go into train, I turn the music on.
Yep.
Because if I have my headphones on and I take a headphone out or a headphone falls out and I hear that the room is silent, yeah, it's like weird. I need a noisy room. I like a noisy room. Yeah, it's no, not I just have, the headphones.
Yeah, no, I'm the same. I have my headphones. I still turn the music on in the gym right when I walk in. It's like music on, lights optional.
So I've been training without headphones this whole time and just enjoying the fact that, you know, I can train in a, you know, blast some music type of situation. But, you know, it's just, there's lots of little things like that, you know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's definitely some things, but, you know, I have to admit one thing I do like is I'm fortunate here, and you actually have this as well. The gyms I train at, everyone in there is jamming. Like, truthfully, I mean, yes, there's people that kind of do the normal, but I mean, when I walk into a gym at any hour, there are five or six men or women train whatever they're doing, but they're training their asses off, and I do like that steel of energy, that exchange that goes on, you know what
right
I mean?
Even if you train at a like typical dead time, it's still people around. I know what you mean.
And they're moving, so that is a nice thing to have. So that's why I've had to factor in. The only thing that is cool now is I have control of the radio, so you know,
I just have fun with it for
you. Know, we have I spent some time in the 90s yesterday with rock music while I was training.
Oh damn.
Yeah, we went there. I was like, you know, today's a 90s day. We're training legs.
So I've been I can talk about music all day long, Dusty. I've gone down some rabbit holes with this whole thing. I talked about my Facebook album challenge a couple episodes ago.
I've been watching.
And anyway, so like that stuff just took me down some crazy paths, like some albums I hadn't heard in a while. I've been blasting stuff at the gym when I train, like, fuck, I haven't heard this album since grade 10. And I put the whole album on.
Let it run.
Yeah. And then the thing that I love is, you know, obviously there's the hits that you keep hearing your whole life because they get played on the radio and they get played at the gym and they get played on this and that and at someone's house and blah, blah, blah. But it's like track 9. That was never a single and you haven't heard it since fucking high school.
Yeah, but as soon as it came on, you felt that one again.
And that one comes on, you're like, oh fuck, I forgot about this song. And it's like, I just love that shit. It takes me back to, because, you know, I'm the type of guy, I remember what fucking sweater I was having. I remember the hoodie that I was wearing when I squatted 4 plates the summer before grade 12.
Well, you still have it.
No, I had a red Gorilla Wear sweatshirt on the day I squatted 4 plates for the first time. I remember it. Just fucking crazy stuff, but all those memories come flooding back. So
yeah, when was it? So we had the other day DMX came on in the gym, and Will goes to me, he goes, well, you got to do 5 more reps, like right when it came on. And I literally looked at him, I go, you know what's crazy, this used to be my deadlift song. Like, literally, I would, because I had a little studio, and when it was time to hit my heavy set every single week, I'd walk over, put that song on, I'm like, this means deadlift. Let's go.
That's funny.
I do 2 sets. Now. I'd go back to it and start it over for my second set. I'm like, here we go again. poor people in there that are just getting trained are like, why are we listening to this song again? What's happening?
We got some DMX on the playlist.
No shit.
So what's the plan for this week?
I've given up on days off.
Well, you're helping Matt now, so you might have to do some runs.
Yeah, I got to find out. He's been quiet today, so I'm going to do something. And then the only other thing is I'm training every day now. I'm just tinker training a couple days a week, but I don't, other than my clients, I have no interactions, me and the dogs. So I have to go to the gym where I found I can't sleep.
Right.
If I don't go kill some energy doing something, I literally am up all fucking night every single time I have an off day.
it's a strange time, so I don't blame you.
Yeah, so I'm kind of like, all right, I'll go to the gym, and you know what? I hate the step mill. I'm going to do that for 20 minutes today. Like, that's my plan for today.
Just going to ask you if you're doing any cardio at the gym, or if you're not, if you're doing it at like you know, outside.
I was doing it on the streets, but I just need to get to the gym. Plus, I can make it hard, and I really don't enjoy. If I'm doing it for anything other than getting in shape, like right now it's actually for a mental purpose, I have to kick the shit out of myself.
Right.
So like, you know, I can go in there and kill myself. And I mean, I'm a fat kid, 20 minutes, I'll be dead. So it won't be bad. But yeah, that's the plan for today, is to see if I can fall off of that thing, you know?
Any recommendations for something to watch?
Something to watch.
Stuck at home, Netflix and shit.
God, shoot yours first. I've been
so. I am.
You're all, prepared.
Yes. This. So you got to watch The Last Dance.
What is it?
The Chicago Bulls 1997-98 season, their sixth championship, their final run. It's called The Last Dance. It is fucking awesome. And it's on Netflix. I had no idea this was even coming out. And it, all of a sudden, everyone's making a big deal out of it. And I'm fucking loving it. I was never really a basketball fan. I was one of those people that was like a passive Bulls fan in the 90s because they were so dominant. Yeah. And I was a huge fan of Michael Jordan as an athlete. Like, I've always respected the shit out of him. And so I remember I was in high school when they won their first three.
Mm-hmm.
And then he fucked off for a little while.
And they came back and won the last three.
And he came back and they won three more in a row. Yep. And I remember it. I remember it happening. I remember watching the highlights on Sports Desk every night, you know, like, holy fuck, he's awesome. You know, like, that team is so fucking crazy. Like, they just destroyed everyone.
Yeah.
And I remember it, like, appreciating it, you know, being like a passive playoff fan.
Right.
But now to watch the documentary of that final season.
Right.
There was so much crazy shit going on with that team. Like, it is, it's amazing.
Is it one show or is it episodes?
Well, there's four episodes up so far. I haven't finished the fourth episode, and I'm not sure if there's more coming. I think there's supposed to be some more coming.
Right.
So the first episode's kind of mostly about Jordan.
Right.
And then the second episode, they really talk about Scottie Pippen a lot.
Right.
And then the third episode that I'm halfway through it, it's Dennis Rodman.
Love Rodman.
And they're just setting them up. The season's just getting going, and they're, you know what I mean? And that's like all this shit's going on. And that was another thing, was the Scottie Pippen stuff. You got to watch the stats on him. Unbelievable. It blew my mind. He was the second best player in the whole league, not just the second best player on the Bulls.
Right.
He was first in assists, second to Jordan in scoring, second to Rodman in rebounds.
First so in he was the steals. Best at almost everything.
He was the best player in the league, technically, overall.
Right.
And he was the 122nd highest player in the league.
What do you mean? 120? What do you mean?
122nd on the pay list.
Oh, okay.
And it's because he signed a 7-year deal. And then they started winning.
Oh, shit.
And he said he signed the deal because he thought, you know, he comes from dirt poor background. And he thought, if I get hurt and my career's over, I won't, like, you know, I want to. So he signed a 7-year deal for $18 million.
Right.
And Jordan's getting 30-something million a year.
Right. Well, plus, I mean, also insult to injury. I mean, I actually was a huge basketball fan. I lived in Utah the last two championships that the Bulls won. So, like, I was watching all the time.
They played the Jazz in the one finals, wasn't it?
Yeah, two. Yep. Beat them both times.
Yeah. Was it semifinals they played the Jazz? Or finals? I can't remember.
Finals. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, no, I just remember when you're with Jordan, nobody even realizes you're number two.
It was still fucking nuts.
I mean, it's not that everybody didn't know his name, but I would have, if you told me he was the second best in the league and all those things, I would have been like, no.
Yeah, he was like.
You can name so many people that are better in your head. You know what I mean? Yeah, because no, they were the star of their team.
Right. So, yeah, it's funny. The other team's stars weren't as good as him. And so far, I'm halfway through the Rodman episode, and all I can think is, holy fuck, Rodman is a fucking absolutely incredible machine of a defensive basketball player. Yeah. Like, I knew he was the best rebounder of all time, but when you watch footage of him, the level of effort and the level of skill he possesses, he's crazy motherfucker.
Yeah, he was the first, when I was a kid, like the first blatant rebel that I was like, this guy.
Yes.
You know it's what I mean? Funny. They had his books and all that shit because I'm like, this guy's fucking crazy.
They tell this story. They're like halfway through the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Rodman just goes, I need a vacation. And they're like, what do you mean? And he's like, I need a vacation. I have to go to Vegas. I have to blow up some steam. And the coach, Phil Jackson, he's like, let's let him go. Give him 48 hours. What the hell? let's just let him go. Maybe that's how you manage a personality like this.
Right.
So they just let him go to Vegas, and Michael Jordan's like, he's not going to be back 48 hours. 48 hours comes, he's not back. 56 hours comes, he's not back. 72 hours comes, he's not back. 88 hours comes, he's not back. So Jordan flies to Vegas to get him.
Holy shit.
Go and fucking pull him out of a hotel.
He does it himself. Motherfucker.
They fucking go and get him. Bring him back. Bring him right to the, bring him right back for a game.
And he kills
him. Back in the mix. Right back to being Rodman. Bam, bam, bam. Just fucking
coming off a fucking weak bender, basically. Can only imagine what his drug test looked like at that point.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. So I can't wait for that this episode to wrap up, because it's been fucking entertaining as shit.
That's an unreal. He's like, I gotta go get him.
But it's funny because they're interviewing Jordan, right? Mm-hmm. And the camera cuts to Jordan. He's like, 48 hours, he's not gonna be back. He just says it.
Like, he fucking knew.
He's not gonna be back. There's no way.
Unreal. But it works.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's entertaining. So if you want to, you know, and I think, like I said, I'm not a basketball fan, but it's been awesome to watch because I remember that time period.
Right.
You know, it's, they got some magical footage, man, like this crazy high quality locker room footage. I'm like, how come no one has seen this?
Yeah, where has this been for the last?
And like, they have videos of like all this awesome video footage. While it's like, not awesome quality, but it's amazing footage of like Jordan playing high school basketball and Pippen playing high school and college and all this. Like the footage they're using is just nuts. So it's been pretty cool. Plus, you know, another connection I would have to basketball would be the old fucking EAS fucking NBA. You know what I mean?
Sports. Yeah.
EA Sports, man. I mean, like, I remember picking the Bulls and like fucking, you know, smoking everybody.
Everybody picked the Bulls.
Yeah, yeah. And then we're wrapping up Billions. Season 5 has just started, and we're almost done season 4, so we're almost caught up to real time.
How do you go with that one? That one I couldn't. I think because I was told it was like Suits but larger, I made it like a season, and I was kind of like, this is not like Suits.
Oh, it gets good. It's very twistedy and backstabby.
Right.
Yes.
Hero, come back. And I did. I drifted away from it. Like,
I have to admit, there's this thing about Billions that sometimes is distracting, but it's like they write the episode and then they purposely go back and they insert 3 references specifically targeting people my age. So I feel like they write the show for me.
This is for Ron.
Yeah, though. So there'll be like a conversation and they're noticeable because it's not how people talk.
Right.
Right. So like, you know, the other day I'm watching an episode and he goes, they're talking about a non-disclosure agreement. Right. And he goes, how tight is this NDA? And the other guy goes, it's tighter than AC/DC in 78. And the guy goes, that's tight. Right. Or whatever. Like,
I would get the reference, but I wouldn't know what that means.
Right. And to me, I'm thinking, oh, that's written specifically for me. Like they put that in just for me, you know?
Ron will like this.
Thank you, writers. That was specifically for me, you know?
I guess you see the guy doing that. I think Ron will like it better like this.
Yeah, you know, they'll just throw in some, like, it's just not how people talk, you know?
Right.
So it's enjoyable, but it is a little bit cartoonish. But Suits was, right?
Yeah, no. Suits definitely had its line. I think the other part is because Suits was cast perfectly.
Mm.
And I think that, and not the Billions doesn't have good, but I really feel like I can't imagine someone else playing the roles in Suits.
Like, yeah, they did a great job. Billions rolls out really well though over the course of the like second, like third season was just nuts. Like I was like, holy fuck! They bring in this cast member, they add a cast member
mm-hmm.
who becomes like by far the most interesting, fascinating member of the cast, and just kind of transforms the show. Okay. So they do some good moves.
Nice.
But yeah, that's my quarantine update, Dusty.
Yeah, see, I turn the TV on so rarely that I didn't realize until recently when the dog started freaking out.
Right.
I was like, holy fuck, I don't turn the TV on. Because they both were like watching it and barking and there was no dogs. And then I realized, I'm like, these motherfuckers are watching because they didn't realize it does that. Like, I mean, literally, I just don't, because I've only had them for, you know, 6 months or whatever. So I realized, I'm like, shit, I don't watch TV. Yeah, I used to.
We do one episode a night.
Right.
Something. And then a couple times a week, I'll do an episode of something that I'm just I'm trying to chip away at.
Yeah, see, I'm a bender. Like, that's how I did Suits. That's how I did Sons.
Right.
You know, Dexter. It's like, oh, let's see how many days it will take to finish six seasons.
Well, Saturday night, if the girlfriend and I, if we really want a party, we'll watch two episodes in a row.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. We'll stay
up. The world's ready.
Stay up late.
You get wild with it.
Get wild.
We have a Diet Coke.
Oh, yeah. But we got to fuck first or else I'm too tired to make it through the two episodes.
That doesn't wear you out more?
No, you just bang early.
Okay.
You bang early. Bang early. Then you cook your meal.
Then you hydrate, you replenish.
You eat and you watch both episodes. Because the only way you can get through two episodes is if you've already had sex. Because if I'm hoping to get some action and we're going to watch.
I got time for the second
episode. I got time for two episodes. Because I know she turns into a pumpkin at about 11:30. Right. They've got a window.
It's done. You're like, this is not gonna fucking happen. every there's a dude right now sitting at home going, pumpkin, that does happen to me.
Yeah, yeah. I used to joke about the sweat pant cutoff.
Oh,
you know, if you know, by 9 o'clock they tie their sweatpants up and they're kind of done for the night. If you don't make the sweat pant cutoff.
If you see the double knot, you're done. You
see the double knot over.
That was a double knot. No.
Traffic home from the gym was bad. Yeah. No, no.
Oh, it's fucking classic.
The things you learn when you live with your woman. Yes. It's all good, Dusty. Is that a wrap up?
That's it, man. Until next week. And like we said, we have 4 more weeks in a row of scheduled guests.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I went on a bender one day and just started calling everybody, and everyone said yes.
You see, so that's exactly what happened. People are going to wonder, why'd you get so many guests? Because we're used to asking 20 people and only having one say yes. And then all of a sudden, we had like 6 replies all at once for yeses.
Dude, I was literally like going to the, because I got to the end where I'm like, I'm just going to ask him, then I'm going to ask the next guy for the next date. And I decided to stop because I was like, well, I might not be alive in 6 weeks. We got to slow this down.
That's how we knew we were getting some action. The Sergio episode was great, by the way, before we go.
Oh, man, the feedback was nuts. And you know what's crazy? I was so tired that day. I hung up. I was like, I don't know how that went. Because I was not really all there. It was past my window of my brain operating.
Oh, because it was night. Yeah, it was later in the day.
Yeah, it was late. And I remember I talked to a friend. I'm like, I told her, I don't think it was that good. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I didn't feel like I was in, and I was like, and he was, Sergio's awesome as always. I'm like, I don't know. And then, of course, I literally, Wednesday hits, and I didn't look at my emails or anything. And then 2 hours into it being loaded, I'm like, and it was awesome.
Okay. Yeah, people messaged say it was super fun. They're like, you guys were having a blast.
I think that might be what it was. Is it was just because it was just conversation, so you didn't really feel like you really covered much.
Yeah, yeah.
We basically all sat down and had dinner without any food.
Yeah. No, that's good, man. That's the fun part. I'm looking forward to next week and another great guest.
Absolutely. I think the world will love this one. So I'm not going to say it.
Can we give the people a hint? You know, I'm not sure who's – I have to look up who's next week. Let me just look up because I've got it all in here. Oh.
I sent the picture of right yesterday, right?
Can we – I don't know.
Just do it. Just say it.
Is it a guru?
Oh, is it? Is that who I had lined up?
I think it's the guru. We have a big time. We got a big time guru for you next week.
That's right. Yes, and this will be good because he's been killing it. So, and I'm liking what he's doing during the.
He might hate that word. He might hate that word. Yes.
Well, that's why we have to use it.
His quarantine content has been good.
Yeah, that's tough to do, man. I mean, I actually have to admit that I've slowed down some of mine just because I'm like, I'm the only asshole training in the gym right now.
Yeah, so I haven't been posting from the gym. You know what? I haven't been posting enough. I've been doing stories, but I haven't been posting enough.
I've been sucking too. I actually got yelled at that recently. A friend of mine's like, dude, where are you? Yeah. You don't sleep. Why are you not working? I'm like, oh, fuck. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah,
it's a weird time. Like, everything is so weird. But then you realize, meanwhile, I'm watching who we're talking about. They're coming on, and I'm appreciating what he's putting out. I'm like, oh, fuck. Maybe I should do that.
I'm too self-conscious of bullshit. Like, I got to get out of the habit, and I have streaks where I'm good at it. But, you know, like, I think, like, no one cares what I'm fucking eating right now. Why do I put a picture of that up? Like, I get that in my head, you know? I'm like, why would I put it? Right. You know what I mean? It's just that grumpy old, you know, sort of, you know,
right,
get back at it later, you know, like that sort of thing. But I know it's not how it works, you know?
If it's macaroni and cheese and steak, always post it. Trust me.
And I don't want to do that, like, fake photo where I'm being introspective and then it says, like, during challenging times, you know, we must find, like, you know, like, I don't know. I can't do any of that shit.
Yeah. Everybody knows we're not actually thinking that way. So it doesn't fucking matter.
I'd be like, I'm like, fuck Pornhub slow. There must be a lot of people on.
Did I really run out of it? I saw it all. Sir, you have seen every single video. Oh,
and some of them I can't unsee.
Just switch to RedTube, dude. You'll be fine.
There we go. Okay, all right. Thanks, buddy. And remember, everybody, it's just bodybuilding.